So my friend Kelly sent me a text the other day that I think was really funny and you would probably relate to. It was about how we plan to conquer the summer together while both of our boys' preschools and Mother's Day out options, well, they're no longer options for the summertime. Listen, I am all about creating fun summertime memories, but the morning coffee date with friends, the opportunity to clean up the house while the boys were in school, and getting some work deadlines met are now a little bit more challenging. But I have found us all a solution. There is an incredible app called Wendy that connects families and college student nannies. They are background checked, interviewed, and the sweetest. Not only are you able to meet your childcare needs, but you could also help those college students that are looking for summer jobs. There's options for part-time help and full-time help. Whatever your childcare needs are, Wendy has a match for all of them this summer. All you have to do is go to wendy.com/realtalk to start a search for a nanny. And as a special offer, they are going to knock $50 off your search if you go through that link. Wendy provides top-notch service, but at a fraction of the cost of traditional nanny agencies, and there's no ongoing fees. So here's how it works. Go to wendy.com/realtalk to start your search. A Wendy concierge will find great matches for your job and set up interviews for you. Then you choose the one you like. Get started now, though, because there are a lot of parents out there looking for nannies for the summertime, just like you and I. Go to wyndy.com/realtalk right now to start your search. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Real Talk with Rachel Autry. I am so stoked that you are listening today. Welcome to episode 3, week 3 of our friendship series. If you are not already signed up for the friendship challenge, you need to go ahead and sign up now. I think we're on day like 15, 16 by the time that this episode comes out. There are 21 days that we are running this every weekday in February. And just a gist is you're going to get an email every morning that this is running that you can apply a challenge, a conversation, a topic from the Friendship Challenge emails to your daily relationships and walks with friends in your real life. Not only to make new friends, but to enrich in the ones that you already have and to learn how to love imperfect people along the way. These stories, the ideas, the selfies that we're getting from you guys are so much fun. So if you are not signed up for the emails, do that. Because they are by the day. So if you sign up today, you'll get day 16. If you sign up tomorrow, you'll get day 17. If this is over, we're trying to figure out what we do for you because the hype around this has been so real that we want to make sure that this can last for forever and ever for whoever wants to be involved, even if you're listening to this months from now. But today's conversation is another incredible one, chock full of wisdom, laughter because of naturally who's on the show, and a lot of sass and spice from none other than Grace Valentine. I don't know if you know of Grace. She is she's a sparkler. She is like a blast and a half. She is one of my dear friends that we met online actually through the podcast world. And she is an author. She writes many books online on her Instagram. She speaks. She has lots of college sororities. So she understands a thing or two about sisterhood, friendship. And in fact, she shares with us that her next book that she's writing is all about friendship and sisterhood and how do you love each other well and champion each other. And most importantly, what today's episode is all about is how to not be a friendship brat. We talk about what is a friendship brat? Are you a friendship brat? And how can we keep ourselves from being a friendship brat by making mistakes? Maybe we're not honest with ourselves. We're not honest with our friends. Maybe we're being too picky. We talk all about that with tons of practicals. There are going to be so many parts of this episode that make you go, oh yeah, me too. All from me and Grace, just trying to figure out life right alongside you. So I'm so excited to cut the fluff, have some real talk with my girl, Grace. Grace, welcome back to Real Talk with Rachel Autry. Last time you came on, were we behind the bliss still? You were behind the bliss, and we didn't do it in person. So that's why I'm way more excited that I hate virtual. I hate Zooms.
It's the worst.
I even told you I hate voice memos, which I don't know why I get anxiety about voice memos. I've told Rachel. I'm like, I hope I'm not the only one, but no. It's pretty weird. But it's way more fun for me to do things in person. So I remember when you were like, you should come on. And I'm like, I'll drive now that I'm in Atlanta. And
I know. So much has changed. You moved from Orlando to Atlanta, number one. Number two, we're in person, like you said. So fun. So for people listening, this is the first ever studio recording. I don't know if you know this.
I didn't know that. Yeah. I'm so honored.
I mean, like, I recorded here, but never like in person.
Yeah.
So we're figuring it all out.
This
you know,
is so fun.
I'm like so surprised there wasn't a technical difficulty or something crazy.
And I'm here for the rebrand. That the rebrand has happened.
The
and I remember you telling me about it. You go, I'm about to rebrand. Like, I think so in the spring. And so it's so cool to see it now come to life. Like,
you're
all your prayers and everything. So
you are also online friend turned real friend. I want to give people context into like, what the heck? How did this happen? Who are these people? You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. Where you're like, how do they meet? Just two girls in different states?
Truly. You know? Like, but this world brought us together. Like, you wrote a book. Well, you've written like so many amazing books, but the most recent one that you wrote, you got pitched for the show.
Yeah. I didn't even pitch, like, I didn't, my, like, my publicist or the people who work for my publisher pitched me to Rachel.
Your people called my people.
And she says no to a lot of people. So I'm so glad you said yes to me. So
whatever.
That's so cool.
And then we met online. We literally, like, logged on for the conversation. I don't know if you remember this.
Yeah.
We logged on for the conversation. We started chatting.
And then we had to go back to recording. I remember you being like, okay, well, we got to start. And I was like, we were just talking for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. So then, like, that was kind of our first time we ever meet, which
I know.
Another peek into this world. Like, people don't know that, but most people have on this podcast are not strangers to me, but I'm a stranger to them, you know?
Yeah.
Cause like, I do my research.
Yeah.
But people have no idea who I am. So then it's funny because when people come on, sometimes we become friends.
And
like
and your personality is so easy. Like, internet's big sister. Yeah, and so, and then you shamed my retreat, which was so fun.
Yes.
Brought our whole family. There was one part at the barbecue restaurant. I remember, like, Maddox, like, doing his little scooter and all the girls going,
Okay. Yeah. So Grace hosts a retreat called the Purpose Retreat, and it is so much fun. It's in the mountains of Asheville, like around. And it is for, how would you say it? Like, young women.
I would say like 19 to 26.
Okay. Kind of like, 19 to 26. So if you're listening, Purpose Retreat is coming up. It's in May this year.
May 16th through 21st. And Rachel's going to be back. So
I'm coming back.
It's going to be so great.
Yes. Last year, Thomas and I went. We brought the boys because Oliver was really small. Like, I don't know. Maybe I was too uncomfortable leaving him alone with somebody yet.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I brought them.
But it was fun. People loved seeing them too.
It was
kids.
So fun.
So
to be determined if they're coming back. I'm
like,
I know.
I made Maddox cry when I was like, can I use him for a game? And he was like bawling. And I was like, okay, I guess I need to wait a little bit for kids.
Lost the magic touch. Adults only. Listen.
Yes.
Anyways, it was so much fun. And all this to say, we're doing this friendship series in February, and it's all about the friendship. Like, the sticky part, the awkward part, the how do you make friends as adulthood part when you're no longer in a dorm, like right down the hall from a girl, or in a sorority with like those forced friendships. Like, how do you start from scratch? And I feel like, number one, you do that well just because you're so fun and bubbly. But number two, I think that it's neat now in adulthood, post-grad, just moved to Atlanta, not starting over from scratch, but like using your resources to meet people and to figure out how do I do this dang thing. And I'm sure along the way, and something else I appreciate about you is you're so like, this is what it is. Like, it's been funky. It's been awkward. Here are some spicy takes that I have. And that's just who you are. So,
and that's so true. I love when you said using your resources, because that is when you moved to that. And that's exactly what happened when I moved in September. Like, so it's barely been like maybe 5 months, you know, since living there. And you're using like any resource, like, and not getting in your head about things. I think at first I was like, I want people in my age range who remind me of me, who have similar hobbies. And then I remember some of my friends are now like 23, and I'm like, yes, I'm 27, but that's really not that big of a deal. Like,
no, it's not a big deal.
You have to get over the things that you expected the friendship to be. But so I've learned a lot. And it's even cool because I'm right now, I mean, it won't come out for a while. You asked me to talk about friendship, and I'm currently writing a book on friendship.
Perfect.
So it was like such a God thing.
Such a God thing. So, he's so cool like that. I want you to start with a practical that's on your mind. When you first moved to Atlanta, first off, how did you feel? Were you excited for a fresh start? Were you anxious because you knew God called you there, but you weren't really sure why? Like, tell me about almost the emotion going into it so that you can relate to the girl. It's like, I'm feeling alone. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little bit trapped. I'm feeling like desperate for connection.
Yeah. So I had moved to Orlando right after college and I had worked for a church and I had a lot of camp friends. I feel like that was almost easier for me because mm-hmm. there were so many people I knew to start off with, so many yes. moms. And once you work at a church, people are kind of like ready to give yes. you everything. Yes. And so moving to Atlanta was harder because I'm self-employed. Still babysitting, but put everything in my Honda Civic. And I remember telling my parents in May I wanted to move to Atlanta, and then I felt God was pushing me there. And my parents, I love them, but sometimes right before the best decisions of my life, my parents will be like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, you know? And so they were like not happy about it. Because I mean, I do own a house in Orlando. Everything seemed like perfect there. Like it made sense
like,
for me
to stay.
Why
would you mess it up?
Yeah, why would I mess it up? I have a great house. Like, everything. And I just truly didn't feel peace there anymore. I felt like it was like a chapter closed, that I was itching for more. I'm like, I didn't think I told myself if I'm 27, if my career is mainly SEC sororities and that would flourish there. And if I'm still single, like, why wouldn't I move?
Yeah.
Like, this is, yeah, single, this is a gift. Like, this is my opportunity to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I was in May. I was like, if I'm turning 27, this is how life is going to be. Like, I feel like I got to get up and move and do something different. Like, 5 years has been great in Orlando, but that's enough. Yeah. And so my parents weren't happy. So that was also hard because I think, you know, when you tell people things that you feel called to do, if you don't get immediately affirmation, it's easy to start doubting it. And so totally. That was the first hump I had to get over. And my parents met so well. They're so protective of me. But mm-hmm. It was going to be hard. And they were right. It was hard. It was financially. You're figuring out things. I had to buy a lot of new furniture, which that yes. isn't easy. I put everything in my Honda Civic, drove, moved myself. Which
bless it.
Literally to the point of like to see the other window, I had like one gap and people were laughing at me at the gas station. Because I was just like, I started throwing away so much stuff on my way there. There was like even cowgirl boots that were really nice before I left. And I saw like some people who came to pick at my trash.
No.
Like literally to look for good stuff. They're like, what size shoes are these? And I'm like, no. Anyway, so moved to Atlanta. And I mean, it was a different season for me too, where friendships was super hard and like awkward. And I don't know why. I think it's like as you get older, the age things, you're getting lunch and it feels like dates with
yes,
people.
Yes.
And sometimes it goes really well. And sometimes there's just like not a connection mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. And so, and I was also traveling a lot with work. So I was busy with work, busy with life, and also trying to build community. But like something I've always said, and I really feel like resonate with me this fall, was community is something you have to create. Like I couldn't expect people to like be a VBS Young Life leader to me at 27.
Right. Like, or bring you brownies and be like, welcome to the neighborhood. Like yeah, that's not always going to happen.
People like there's no yeah. like girl 4 years older than me who's like, I really want to care for you. I'm your Young Life leader. Like no one cares about young adults like that. Like it's not a dog eat dog world, but it's a world where people are so busy, and especially mm-hmm. the people who aren't believers too in this world. Everyone's hectic. No one cares. But you have to like stop people in their tracks and say, hey, why don't we do something? You have to be the intentional one.
Yeah.
You have to be the friend you wish you had first. And I think that's hard because naturally I get insecure in those moments where I'm like, mm-hmm. am I pathetic for asking her this? Like she's lived in Atlanta for 3 years. Does she really want to get lunch with me? Like, sure. does she really want to go on a walk with me? But it's worth it every single time.
Yes.
And so I've had so many moments like that this fall, and there are so many people who I connected with. And then at one point I was like, I'm going to host a girls' dinner where I bring everyone I connected with,
there you
try
go.
To bring them together
yes, yes.
and be like, yeah, now y'all meet. And you know, sometimes they click, sometimes they don't. And that was also something I did where I'm like, I'm not going to wait on people to throw parties. And Orlando was such a cool season where I remember even having like a band over at my house, like crazy parties,
so
like
fun.
Chili cook-off, like. And I think it taught me, like, you don't need to wait for a gathering. Like, you go create the gathering. And so I've been trying to do that more in Atlanta as I've, like, met people.
Yes.
And just asking them a lot of questions about themselves, because I think that's something we forget. Because I hate, it's my pet peeve, I don't know if you feel this way, if you're getting lunch with someone and they are only talking about themselves. Like, and
ooh, yeah.
I don't think anyone means anything by it. I think we can do it. I've seen it in myself. But it's something I pick up on now that I'm older, you know? And it's like the country song, I want to talk about me, you know?
Yes.
And so me and my friend Ramsey used to joke about that with people. We're like, I want to talk about me. And so that's something you should need to seek to be that person first, though, who asks them intentional questions. Like, don't just ask them the basics. Don't be like, where'd you go to college? Were you in a sorority? Like, ask them, like, oh, did you enjoy your sorority or was it hard? Like,
or what's your favorite thing to do right now?
Yeah, like, what are your hobbies? Yeah. Like, you play pickleball? Like, are you actually good? Because I'm not. Like, you know,
yes.
like, whatever it may be.
Yes.
And then, like, even saying, like, is church shopping hard for you? Because I feel lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, another thing I feel like I learned. Like, don't ever be scared to walk into church alone. I think a lot of single young people, when they just move somewhere, get so in their head about going to church alone. I go to church alone all the time. And I love it. And it's funny because sometimes people get worried, like, when you're alone.
Are you okay?
Yeah. Yeah, they're like,
do you need someone to sit with?
I think when my friend's boyfriend was so sweet. He goes, I see Grace is alone at church. Like, go talk to her. And I'm like, I'm fine. Like, y'all don't have to talk talk to me. But you're never going to meet the Christian friends unless you go places alone. Like, yes. So don't be afraid to go, yes, to church alone, but even to like the pickleball court alone, to yoga mm-hmm. class alone, to Pilates mm-hmm. alone. Like, mm-hmm. wherever you go that you do things where you enjoy, like, go there alone. And don't be like, no one cares. Like, you know, don't be overwhelmed or insecure
yeah.
about going alone.
Yes, so good. Two things I want to pick out from here. Number one, I love the whole, like, three things actually. I'm going to go over them so I don't forget. This is yes. like my mom brain. You ready? Okay. Number one is use your resources. Love whenever people move somewhere and they use like their church or a small group, a book club, an interest, a friend that they know has lived there before, and like reach out and use that as your in. Like use that as your stepping stone. Number two, the pet peeves. I want to go there in a second.
Yeah.
Because like, whoa, that's like a whole conversation.
Yeah.
And then number three, going somewhere alone is so cool because I have learned in this season specifically, I feel like I have help me like written on my forehead because life is so busy and people are so quick to offer me help because I like look like I'm drowning because I am drowning. You know what I mean? Like there's my life is obviously a bit chaotic. And I feel like when you live out loud your season, like singleness and showing up places alone or like grief and you cry in public or like whatever it is and you wear your heart on your sleeve, however people want to say it. I think it's a cool opportunity for people to be like, she's alone. Like I'm alone. Let me in to go introduce myself. Whereas before, had you, Grace, shown up with another girlfriend, maybe the other girl that was sitting alone would have been intimidated to come over and say, hey. So you're almost like making yourself more available as a human for connection when you just sort of like, this is what I got. I'm going to come alone.
Completely. And I think we get scared of looking like weak, but like that's when you go back to scripture, like our weaknesses show Christ's strength. And like, if you show up, like God can pave a way and make a miracle, but you have to be willing to show and go eagerly to where he calls you. And so don't be afraid to go alone and don't be afraid to look around and like maybe see who else is alone or who you want to talk to in those moments. Cause I've had so many great moments and friendships that started that way. And and the using your resource thing is so important because like, I even think there was this girl, Claire, when I moved to Atlanta and she was on her honeymoon. She saw I moved to Atlanta. She was a Baylor Pi Phi like I was. And she was like, was not even there when I was there, but she messaged me the sweetest thing. She goes, I'm on my honeymoon right now. And I was like, you're on your honeymoon. Like,
go away.
Go away. You have fun with your husband. Like, but she's so sweet and she became a good friend in Atlanta. And don't be afraid to post like, hey guys, I just moved to Atlanta. Yes. Like I did that.
Yes.
Like, sign me up. There's some people who just messaged me. I would love to hang or hear good churches. And I've been connected with them through that. And social media, I always say, like a bad thing can be a good thing if it's a God thing. So like social media itself can easily become a bad thing. I mean, it's a man-made tool. Totally. But at the same time, God is so powerful that he can use something like social media to lead you to good, you know?
To connection, to relationship. Yes.
Like
so us.
Like we, at the end of the day, we're on platforms, things like that. And you make friends that way. Like a lot of people who work at my retreat or like my sparklers, I met through social media, you know? And don't be afraid to ask for help in those moments too, or text people and say, hey, I just moved. Look for Facebook pages, like whatever it may be.
Gosh, so many good practicals. One more I want to add, and then I definitely want to move on to the pet peeve part. Because like, holy moly, I'm feeling moved to this area.
Let's talk about being peeved.
Spicy. I felt like so discouraged when I was making adult friendships. I was like, I didn't connect with her, right? Mm-hmm. Or like, she maybe felt like she connected with me, but I didn't, whatever, reciprocate. It's so kind of clunky sometimes. And you can view that as a failure. But two things you can do with a relationship or a friendship, if you met with them and you're like, that wasn't my person. This has happened to me. And in one scenario, we tried again. And now she's one of my best friends. Like we did not hit it off first. And we admitted it. We were like, I didn't really like you. Like, can we give this another shot? You know? And there are so many other people that were like championing our friendship. They're like, you'll have to be friends. This doesn't make sense. Why didn't y'all not get along? So we're like, something's up. So we tried again and now we're besties. And the second thing is I've had friends or, you know, acquaintances that I've gotten to spend time with. And I'm like, I don't think we're each other's people. Like what you need is not what I have. What I have is not what you need. And like, that's okay. Like hot take. It's okay if you're not friends with everybody. Totally okay. You should be kind and you should love everybody, but to not like connect instantly with someone is okay. But there can be so much life and fruit from that still from their friends or their connections. Or maybe y'all had a conversation about a group that you should go join. Like there's still life that can come from that. It's not a failure either way.
Completely. I mean, even in scripture in Acts, there's two men who basically they were good friends. They had each other's back, and then they disagreed on something, and they both agreed to go their separate ways. And it was the best thing that happened for the gospel. Like, it was the best for everyone. Like, and that didn't mean either of them were a bad person. It just meant they weren't meant to do life together.
But in that moment,
them not doing life together was better for everything. And so I even think of like my own life, and like there's people who I don't connect with, there's friendships I've had to walk away from.
Yep.
And it doesn't make them a bad person. Like, maybe it is because of things that they're doing. Maybe they're not like living a life that like actually aligns with my goals. But at the end of the day, it's probably what's gonna be best for both of us. And so, and I have those moments too where I don't connect people. And sometimes I even just then, it's almost like dating where like you connect them with other people they would get along with.
Yes,
you say,
exactly.
Hey, like actually, maybe if you feel like, oh, she wants to hang out again, bring other people along who she may connect with more, because you'll never regret setting someone up for friendship. Like, and I live for setting friends up. And I hope some of my friends are listening like, well, Grace sets me up with friends all the time. Like, is she doing because she doesn't like me? No, not all the time. But there are some times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I hope everyone becomes friends. And I think we grew up in like an eighth grade culture where people gatekept any of their friendships. And people still do that in their 20s. So they'll gatekeep their guy friends. And they'll gatekeep like their girlfriends who are the ones who connected. Don't be gatekeepers in 2024. Like, that is just not worth
it's out.
Like, you're not a good friend if you are so insecure that you're holding on to everything good in your life.
Like an ownership, like possession.
There are times when you don't need to trust like certain people. If they're like the jealous person in your life who like you've discerned and you can't, and then you may not need to tell them everything. And I'm sure we'll talk about it later, but there's a difference between being private and secret. Like, secrets aren't something from the gospel, but being private is also something great. Like, there are some friendships where I'm like, I need to keep that personal thing private because I don't know. And I don't know if I can trust them yet. Mm-hmm. Doesn't make me a bad person, but I don't keep secrets, but I do keep things private. But
that's so good, Grace.
Especially in some, though, I'm like, there's some where I'm like, if it's not for me, maybe it's for someone else I know, who, or another girl who reached out to me also feeling lonely like me, you know? And this, I'm not going to miss out just because I set other people up for friendship, even if that means now I don't have those friends.
Yes.
If anything, now I have room. And I feel like God loves that. When we're kind and loving and we make people feel seen and we connect, like God and Jesus were connectors. Like, they brought people together. And so I want to be that too.
Yes. So good. I feel that so hard because this season of my life, I don't have time. Like time isn't a thing. And if it is, I feel like I need to devote it to my family. Right. But I have other gifts. Like, I have other things that I can contribute, whether it's like a hot meal, like I can't leave my house, but you're more than welcome to come over to mine kind of thing. Mm. That's how it feels right now, at least. And there are friendships that, you know, we share concerns, or I hear her need or what she needs in life right now. And I'm like, I can't meet that need. You know what? I know someone who can. Let me introduce you to Carla. Let me introduce you to Abby or whoever. And then when they hang out alone, I'm not hurt. I don't feel excluded because I understand, no, so-and-so gave me a need that they need met. I can't meet that. Like, that's not my season. That's not who I am. That's not what I have right now. I can meet them elsewhere. Mm-hmm. But let me be a good friend and not gatekeep and introduce them to someone who can help fill that void in their life. And it has been so cool. Even when I'm on the bench, like cheering on their friendship, like I don't feel left out or excluded anymore. And that confidence can come from introducing people. And I feel like so many times people, I don't know, the narrative is opposite.
Just realize you're not going to miss out on something great. If anything, you'll gain like a feeling of being like a friendship cupid for people.
Yes,
and so I love that feeling. And I loved when you were also talking about how, you know, you didn't have the time to go to people's friends. Like, so one of my best college friends, we ended up living in Orlando together. And she at that point had one kid and two kids. And I was sad some days because I was like, okay, our friendship has changed. But at the same time, it hadn't changed. Like, there was still so much love and connection and care. But it might mean that I would have to go to her house and her kid would be crawling and maybe spitting up and we'll be sitting there laughing, talking about my dating story since I was a single friend. Like, that is the way the friendship looked that day. And I didn't need to be annoyed that I was always driving to her because there were little kids in the way. And I think sometimes when you're the single friend, like I've always been, and you have friends who are married, and I think that's also your 20s. Like, everyone's in a different life stage. Sure. You're going to have to give grace where grace is due and what's important. Just like, I hope your married friends don't say, why don't you just put yourself out there? Like, they need to give grace to the single friends in that way and say, maybe it's a hard world that I don't understand anymore. that when it comes to dating. But at the same time, if your friends have kids or are engaged or married, give them extra grace in that season. Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid if that's a season where you come to them a lot, you bring them. And it's not a scoreboard of who's doing more for who else. Like if you start resenting someone because you're like, I always drive to her. Granted, you can say, hey, it would mean a lot if you came and saw my world, you know, if you came to the Pilates class, but I know you have kids. Because there was even one time I remember my friend Britta, I was like, I mean, you can bring Owen too, like her baby. And she goes, Chris, I have to. It's not like a dog. I can't just like walk him up. Like, and I was like, oh, duh. Like, you know, like to bring Owen. Like, you know, like, and so I was like, I forget. Like that, you know, that's important. So that's for all the single girls too, who just feel like, oh my gosh, my friendships have changed. Like, yeah, they do change.
Probably, yeah.
That's life. That's your 20s. But it's up to you to say like, you know, I'm going to stay firm in my foundation of Christ, and I'm going to also move where he calls me to do, and I'm still going to show up for these people.
Yes.
And I hope they do the same for you.
Yes.
But it might be a season where you're doing it a little more because kids are hectic. Mm-hmm. You might have a season where work is hectic. You might have a season where you're going through a breakup and they have to bring everything to you and have your back. And so don't look at the friendships of a scoreboard, especially when it comes to kids.
It all equals out. I swear, like, it'll all equal out, because as soon as my kids are in elementary school and have a little bit more time on my hands, those friends that have been single now, I can now bring, like, them the lunch and them the coffee and the breakfast. Like, it all equals out. And yes, like, love keeps no record of right or wrong. Like, it doesn't keep a score. Mm. And that's what we're told. That's what we believe. That's how we move forward. And I, like, your friendships are going to evolve. Question is, are you going to evolve with your friendship?
Amen.
Are you going to stay put?
Because then if you just only become, and you do need, like, if you're single, you do need those single friends too.
Yeah.
But if all your friends are single and you're just all going out together and you switch and they get married and you find new single ones who go out with you, then it's this never ending cycle of you're not growing and being better. And you're not also taking advantage of it. I get to see someone maybe one step ahead in my life. Yes. Maybe they're even 2 years younger, but they have kids. Like, I can learn from this and start learning what are the little tips me and my husband might get into 2 years so that I can be my best self right now. Like, if anything, it's an advantage that you get to have people in a different life stage. But I have noticed also when you're the single friend, sometimes every couple wants a double date, which isn't bad. Like, that's just how it works when you're single and that. So I'd encourage anyone who's in a relationship or who's married or whatever to remember your single friends who can't double date, you know? And you don't always have to bring your husband or boyfriend around for that too. Like, have your girl time. Like, because it can be overwhelming to be the single friend in that moment when you're like, oh, classic, the double date. Like, I guess I'll show up, you know?
Yeah, no, that's so good. This is a good call for practicals, but then also a good little, like, spicy reminder for our friends in whatever season you're in, that, like, you can have friends in all different seasons. Mm-hmm. And also, someone said this on Instagram, and I thought it was so awesome because, but, like, even multi-generational friends. Like,
I'm so big into that. I call them my mom friends, but, like, literally, like, they could be my mother's.
And they are, like, brilliant. Like, because they are looking at your life from, like, a 30,000-foot view. We're, like, you and me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we live different seasons, but we're in the same, like, we are, like, very, very similar. Yeah. As much as our lives look different on paper, we're similar.
100%.
We, like, believe Jesus. We probably both, like, we grew up in the church.
Yes.
We have maybe, like, the same amount of wisdom, as in, like, we were kid believers, grown up into adult believers, probably have the same, like, spiritual questions. But when you have a relationship or a friendship with a woman who's older, wiser, has been through it, has, like, seen hard things, and is on the other side of it, she has, like, a, I call this a 30,000 foot view, whereas, like, we're still on the runway. So, like, she's above it, looking down and able to maybe speak more life or conviction or, like, accountability into a place where our friendship's great, but, like, I can't really call you out of something that I'm also stuck into.
Completely.
Like, so it's just so cool. I wanted to say that too.
Oh, well, and I think when it comes to age, we got to stop being brats. I think like, and especially when it comes to wisdom, I always say this, if you've ever heard me speak, I say this a lot, is that, like, before I had my first kiss, I Googled how to kiss a boy. Like, just like every girl who grew up with the internet on the feet. I think I YouTubed it. I saw, like, some secretary with a weird skirt and some, like, Australian man. Anyways, weird, traumatizing. And I was like, they're like, do the alphabet. Anyways, so then I got older, and anytime there was an issue, I would just go to Google. And when you just go to Google or try to figure it out on your own, or even just ask people your own age, you're not seeking wisdom. Like, you're seeking just, like, the quick fix. Mm-hmm. And so as, like, if you're a Christian, you should be seeking wisdom in your life. And wisdom comes from, like, the Holy Spirit and prayer, but also people who are older than you, have been walking with the Lord a little longer. And so, if back in our grandma's day and age, if they didn't have, if they had a flat tire, if they wanted to learn what anything was, they couldn't just Google it. They had to, they couldn't YouTube tutorial it. They had to ask someone, order them to sit down and teach them. And so I think our generation has lost the beauty that comes from sitting down with someone older than them and asking them, because we're so used to just the world being at our fingertips. And so, but wisdom's not at our fingertips. No. And so you need those older friendships. Like, they may not understand exactly what you're going through in social media, but Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. Like, they know what brokenness is. They know what a breakup is. They know what it's like to be overwhelmed, even though inflation may feel a lot worse right now, and you're like, this I couldn't afford a house back then. They know, they've been in situations very similar. And so I am better because of the people older than me who have listened to me almost spiral, because we all have those friends who listen to the same story repeatedly over and over again. They talk about that one beef for the ex-best friend, and you say it again and again, and they're so kind, they listen to you. But the older people usually will listen to it twice, and then they'll call you up immediately. Like, your peer will do that. You know what? Talk about her one more time, you know? But the older woman's usually going to be like, have you thought about this? And that's when you're like, I don't want wisdom. I just want to sit in my sin. And that is the beautiful thing about having the multi-generational friends.
Yes, so good. Ugh. Okay, that's a good friendship pet peeve. It's like, don't be a friendship brat.
Yes.
Like, don't be that.
If I had to get over that with girls younger than me, I'm like, yes, they graduated college. Yes, they were at a sorority I spoke at, which I would love to be friends with them. But in my head, I'm like, are they going to use, they're going to think of my, you know, this perfect girl? And I had to get over that. I had to be like, wait, this is a cool girl and we're all adults.
Yes. And that's part of discipleship, is like, I can learn from my younger friends just like my younger friends can learn from me.
Amen.
Like, there's so much about that that I'm like, gosh, I didn't know that at your age. I'm so encouraged, you know, or whatever it's going to be.
Yeah.
I always learn something. Okay, other friendship pet peeve we've already talked about, but talking about yourself, big ugh. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I'm not sure what just bloomed in the air, but my allergies have been so out of control. I so badly want to live the life where I can keep my doors open with this perfect spring weather, and I'm able to roll around in the grass outside with my littles and live a life without the gross congestion. But when my allergies are at their worst, I start having to compromise on life. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. I love that Claritin has an option for non-drowsy relief of allergy symptoms. With Claritin D, you can still make the most of your day without compromise. This means that I can have my windows down car dance sessions with my boys and help with yard work without the symptoms of my allergies popping up out of nowhere. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What so other ones?
Especially in the beginning when you're on the friendship date, when it's like, okay.
Or like the worst. Let me share my testimony. Like,
yes.
1.5 hour later.
Yeah. And you're like, that was a great lunch. And then they're like,
I got to go back to work now.
Yeah, it's the worst. I just emotionally got
dumped. Yes.
Yeah. And I think that's actually so true. I love that you said that, because I think sometimes we talk so much about boundaries and like intimacy with like boys that we forget that also like, you don't need to like trauma dump on someone on the first time you meet a friend. Like, you know, I think trauma dumping is the
another
thing.
Pet peeve.
It's not, it's, and it's like one of those things where there can be a moment where it felt like a Holy Spirit moment where you feel like they share something, you share something, and it's like an open thing. But like, you don't need to meet people online and just like immediately share things that, and it's like the difference between being private and secret, like respecting private things for you, for the people who earn that in your life. And it protects you and it protects that other person from being trauma dumped from something that could trigger them or you don't know them. Another one is, and this might be a hot take, is I have so many friends who disagree politically with me.
Like, this is the year for that. Let's go.
And I'm like,
2024 is about to be.
And I'm very moderate. Like, people, anyone who knows me personally knows I'm moderate. Like, I don't side with any party. And some of my best friends really disagree with me, and we will have a talk. I'll be like, hey, and I recently called a friend. I was like, hey, you've been posting something that I really disagree with, and I'm sinning and I'm getting annoyed at you. So can you just tell me your heart behind this issue so that we can talk it out? And what we did was we had an adult conversation where they explained their heart behind that. I explained my heart for the other side. And we saw each other's point of view. Did anyone change their opinion? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I'm better because we talked it out and I admitted that I was sinning in that moment being annoyed.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like even a tiff. It was a great conversation. And I think sometimes we forget that that is one of the best things we can do mm-hmm. is to just hear someone out and to not jump to conclusions. Like,
so good.
They don't. Are they empathetic? Are they like inconsiderate? Whatever it is, like maybe give them a chance to speak into that. And maybe they'll say something and we'll realize, wow, your views are so close to mine and you are a horrible person. Like, you know, but maybe you'll also be like, wait, there's a reason that this person is so passionate about this issue. Like yes. now I can see a side that's different. I may not change that. But I think our generation is so used to be like, you disagree with me. Like we're not friends.
Period.
You know?
Canceled.
Right. And I think that's different. Like you should always disagree with racism. You should always disagree with like injustice. You should always
things
disagree.
That are biblically.
Yes.
Like and morally and, you know, break our heart, but break yours, Lord.
Amen.
Thanks.
And so, but yes. not in a whole, if it's all about a political thing, then like, and not even a heart thing, then you're not even giving people a chance to talk.
Right. Oh, it's so good. I'm so glad you brought that up. 2024 is about to be a year.
I know.
It's
and I'm so
year.
Annoyed. I'm like, I'm dreading it. And I'm like, but also like, it makes us better to have tough conversations.
Yes.
And so I think we have to remember that. Yes. And also the politicians want to make you mad at each other.
That's like, right. It's
because
the whole point.
What gets you to the polls is being pissed off or being scared. And so yes. right now we're like, you know, that's, if they piss you off about the other side, they're going to get you to vote. And so don't fall for their tricks. Like,
that's
you know,
right.
don't be pissed off at your neighbor. Be pissed off at the people getting rich off your emotions, you
yes,
know, and aren't even doing anything about it. Anyways.
She said it.
I know. I was like, I'm sure someone will be annoyed I said this because you can never say anything right when it comes to that.
Like, don't leave us a review about this. This is not what our show is about.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
You can give me bad reviews for that, not Rachel. This is not a political
podcast. Hilarious. But it's so true. I think polarizing views about anything, especially these days when you add like media, conversation just like people are going to be louder than they've ever been about things they care about and I think to be able to hear your friends be like, what's breaking your heart, even if I disagree and it doesn't break my heart, I want to hear because I love you and I'm not like being your friend is to hear you not always will I understand you.
Yeah, pick up the phone, don't comment, you know, like pick up the phone and have an actual conversation before your fingers type anything, including texting, because
right.
like you're not going to actually have the voice or empathy when you're just
context,
texting or commenting.
Tone, all that's important.
And so it just makes way more sense. And if it starts to get weird and spicy, say, hey, let's take this down.
Yeah.
2 days later, let's have a call.
Yeah.
Because those have been like the best conversations that I've
so
had.
Good.
And once again, no one changes their mind usually, but that should never be the goal to change someone's mind. Like, and if that is your goal, then you care more about making people vote for the same person than making disciples.
Yes.
So focus first on making disciples and then everything else
falls in line.
Yeah.
Easy. Okay. Another pet peeve that's on my mind is the text. It's like, we should hang out. And then like no movement.
And no movement. The no like, wow, miss you, girly. Like, it's been forever.
Hey, girl, good to see you.
We should
How
really
you
do
doing?
Something.
Yeah.
No, that's definitely mine. Or I think my biggest pet peeve is when someone after a while, and maybe this is me, will act like they're your friend. And I'm like, we have not hung out in 6 months.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're friends. And I've tried. That happened to me and my friend Ramsey in Orlando a lot, where I'll even be on the close friends. And I'm like, dude, we don't know each other. I've tried to hang out with you, too. That's what more annoys me. It's like, I'm like, you ghost. Or I think when it comes like, we should hang out as a pet peeve. I also think there's always the girls who only hang out. Maybe this is a single girl thing. When you're with guys, like they'll come when they're with guys because they want to find their husband, but they don't want to find a deep friendship with you. And that is like my biggest pet peeve. Cause I'm like, I've always had some guy friends in my life where even in Orlando, I'd be like, let's do this. Like, and so I knew how to entice certain friends. I'd be like, some guys are coming. Ooh, they're cute. And I would say, and they would show up.
They'd show up. Oh, gosh, I hate
I know,
that.
But it would annoy me, but I knew it would work. And so I would do it over and over again. I was like, let's reel them in. I need some more friends.
Hook and bait.
I know. I'm like, you're really predictable. But it was a pet peeve. I'm like, why was it that easy? You know?
I'm dying. That's a good way. I'm like, start being like, hey, my brother's going
to
be over.
Yes, honestly. Yeah, you have a cute brother. Girls need to know that. Yeah, you can get you can have a whole event. You could be like The Bachelor, like come over.
Matchmaking.
I know.
He is dating somebody though, so he's taken. He's off.
Off the market.
Off the
so
market,
no one
baby.
DM him. We respect the girl.
Hilarious. But no, that's so good. That's so true. And I think that too, I want to call out two things. One, that whenever you maybe are the friend, that you only show up when there's something that you can get from it. Whether it's a guy.
That's the deeper
that's
point.
That's the deeper it. Yes, is like, what can I get out of going to this hangout? Why is it worth my time? Mm. Stop.
And the people who like have things that they're, and I think that's something that I feel like in my life, that's now something I feel like I can see more. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you would have bullied me in high school. Like, yes. Yeah, you want to hang out with me? Like, yes. And there comes
it could be because of like money, opportunity, fame, a meal, like brother. Romance. Yeah, exactly. Like romance. Anything. And I
or
just
even your
say,
friends. Like, I've had friends who were like, we should hang out with that group of girls. And then next thing you know, they're hanging out together without me. And I'm like, oh, you're welcome. Like, you know?
Right.
And those things hurt when you're like, I was just a bridge. Like, I wasn't a person.
Right.
And it's offensive.
So if you are the friend that like is convicted in that, because I will say there have been seasons of mine where I'm like, oh, like that would be really good to meet them because X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. Like I have been that girl. So please don't hear me say, you know, I'm more righteous. No. But I will say that if you have found yourself there and you're convicted in this moment, like my challenge for you this week is to go to a coffee date, go on a walk, go to a dinner or a book club that feels pointless, that doesn't feel productive.
I love that.
Like that's your challenge because
pursue
I can guarantee
pointlessness
you pursue
sometimes.
Pointlessness because at the end of it, I am so much better off for my friends that like are not online.
Amen.
That have no idea who I am. Completely. That have no, like I am better off for
nothing
the friendships that have nothing to
and
give
me. And you trust
me.
Them more. And I remember, so when I was deciding where to move, some people were like, why not Nashville? Because I feel like there's a lot of people who do what I do. And I told them, I go, I would social climb. I would literally be climbing that ladder. I would be like, who's who? I'm like, there's so many people who do what I do there.
Yeah.
That I would get in my head. I don't think I'd be my best spiritually. I know that would be my sin.
And would that be you?
Yeah. And no, I wouldn't be me. And I wouldn't. And at the end of the day, you're not happy when you're climbing those ladders. And so I knew that would be a temptation. So Nashville was never an option for me because I'm like, there's too many people doing what I'm doing. And there's been even churches I've tried where I'm like, that's a really good church. But I'm like, will I be my best, like spiritually? Like, will it be great? I even like, still, like, I was just volunteering on a youth retreat, and I was like, give me the sixth graders. Like, they have nothing to gain from me. Like, maybe if I'm a Bible study for a senior girl, they might think it's cool. Like, you know, which those still moments, but I'm like, give me a little middle school 12-year-olds with no social media with still leg hair and, like, you know, a lot of hormones. Like, I want them, you know?
Yes.
We can make friendship bracelets. Ugh. And I'm like, you're going to be your most humble self when you're pursuing the pointless things or the things that aren't, and then it's not pointless, they're purposeful, but that keep you humble and
that
keep you grounded. And you know that they have nothing to gain. And then you find so much ministry in that, you know? Because you have nothing to gain either.
That's right. Check your motives because we're told when you lose your life, you'll find it. And it's like, if you lay down your life and if you're like, got nothing.
Completely.
Got nothing for me. You're going to find so much more life there because you're not going to be so distracted by the shiny part,
completely.
Which I love. And then for the friend that, what else was it that I was going to say?
Well, I have a pet peeve. And
yeah,
I think
go. What else?
It's, this is more like whatever. When now I think it's February, but people like fad diets are so in right now. Like, you know,
I hate that.
I hate the fad diet, whatever. But there's nothing wrong with like cool ones. Like I know a lot of friends who do 75 hard. Don't push it on other people. Like don't like literally be the friend. I always say like my biggest fear would be ending up with a guy who was like, we're doing 75 hard for the fourth time. You know, like, please God, no, I'll run with him. Don't let him be one of those people. But I think sometimes,
that's
I think
so funny.
People try, they think they're like pushing each other to be their best selves, but they're just pushing them to do what they want to do, you know? Like
train for a half marathon with me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you can, and like, and it can be like, let's run together, not like you have to run at a certain pace. I think especially people get so sensitive about health and everything, and maybe it's also me personally where I'm like, don't be talking about yourself so negatively too, where whenever you have that friend who's like, I'm so fat. I'm like, dude, I am 20 pounds heavier than you. Like, you know?
Sure.
And like, obviously you need to check on them first and like care for them as a friend. But like, don't be the friend who always talks negative about yourself, because naturally when you start creating that environment that's toxic, other people will do it. If you want to talk negative, like say I'm struggling with this. Like this is what I am struggling with, body image. I keep thinking this, but try to turn it back to the idea that it's not a good thing to sit in that insecurity. Like be friends who celebrate each other and also call each other up. And not friends that just like mean girls look in the mirror and tear each other down. Because if you're speaking about yourself that way, your friend's going to start speaking about herself that way.
That's right.
And it's contagious.
Toxic. It is so contagious. Yes. I'm glad we're here. I wanted to sit here for a second. Are you the friend? I'm sure you are. It's like, I already know the answer, but tell our people listening. Like, are you the friend who will call out the person? So like, if you're going on a walk with someone, they're like, oh my God, I'm so fat. Like, or they start saying those things and start going down that road. How do you as a friend in health, like start pulling them out?
See, I actually think it really depends on who you're talking to. Because if I'm talking to that one friend who's like, and also like, if I know it's like something they are struggling, if they have struggled with physical health, if they aren't like working on themselves, I'm not going to say like, I have to do this. But first, I think Jesus was so good at asking people questions. Like,
that's
that
so
was
good.
His rebuttal. He was like, So if people, who without sin cast the first stone, that was his remark when people were about to slut shame a girl, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when it comes to a friend like that, I think about that person. And I think, is this person doing this out of like a vain obsession with themselves or self-loathing? Because mm-hmm. I also think so many times our generation, we're either self-obsessed or we're self-loathing. Wow. We're either obsessed with posting bikini pictures of ourselves or obsessed with acting like we're the most grunge, we don't care, and we're not like other girls, you know? But really, we just need to be self-aware. And like I always say, be confident in who you are and okay with who you are not. And so I try to see, is that person talking bad about themselves because they're obsessed with the body and they think that will make them confident, or because they're loathing it? Because you got to give gentleness to the self-loather, but for the self-obsessed person, you have to call them up and you have to be like, girl, like, I know how hard you're trying and you're not seeing yourself the way God sees you, and there's so much more to you than your body.
Yes.
But for the person who's self-loathing, I'd probably sit with them and let them have that moment, weep with those who weep, and say, hey, like, it breaks my heart. You don't see yourself the way God sees you. Like, this is what I see about you. And I think when you know your friends well, and you should know your friends well enough to know what they're going through even before they start speaking it.
Yeah.
Because you'll see body language, you'll see what they wear, you'll watch their social media patterns change. And if you're walking with them, you should be able to even call them up before that. But you're not going to always notice because you're not God. So be aware in those moments of what they need. Do they need gentleness or do they need goodness and faithfulness? You know?
That's where prayer and Holy Spirit come in attack.
Amen.
Because there are moments where I'm like, God, like, I don't know what to say, when to say it, how to say it. Yikes, you know?
Yeah.
And I just pray, I'm like, give me the open door, give me the silent moment, give me the words and the boldness, like the 3 seconds of courage to open my mouth and start saying this. And those have been such cool, fruitful conversations.
Completely.
But pressure's off. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in, prayer, discernment. Yeah. Like, he's got your back if it's meant to be. I love that. That's so good. Yeah. Know your friends. And I think that that is huge. Like,
and you're so good at that too, for the record. I feel like I've seen you be friends with a wide variety of people, and like, everyone needs something different. And like, that's how you show up. You're like, some people need to like come over to your family and see how beautiful that is. And some of them need just a FaceTime, you know, like, it's just that discernment is so powerful in friendships, and it'll make you more confident in your friendship. So if you haven't talked in 2 weeks, because I also think some friends are low maintenance, and that's a beautiful thing too. When you're at the point in life where you're like, we can't hang out, we are long distance, and celebrate that too, and know when they need you to show up. Like one of my friends, best friend Britta, now we're long distance, and we talked when I was driving here, and it was between a work call for her, and she was listening to me talk about like hee goody things, like, you know, and it was so great, and she knew I needed that, you know? And so she shows up when it's time. And so I'm so thankful for that.
Oh, that's so good. We all need a Britta.
I know. She's great.
She's awesome. I want to go back one more thing, and then I have another question for you about the pet peeve when you say, oh, we should hang out, and then you don't follow through. I want to speak to that. If you are the girl that does that or have a friend that does that, like, follow through. Mm-hmm. Do the thing. Like, schedule it, look at the calendar, shoot them some dates. If they ghost you back, that's on them. But like, put the ball back in their side of the court is what my dad would always say. And I love that. Like, if the ball is on your side of the court, just throw it back. If they've got 20 balls on their side of the court and they haven't popped one back over, like, let it be.
Do you ever stop entertaining? Yeah, I was going to say, let it be. Do you stop entertaining it after a while if they keep doing it, you know?
Yeah. So like, I have so many, like, to this one friend, no names, obviously. I have this one, I don't even know if we'd say friends, but like, I have this one girl who, she was always in a friend group that I was hanging out with. Mm-hmm. We never hung out one-on-one, but every time we were there in the friend group, she would always say, we should hang out. We should get our kids together, blah, 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 blah. So I was like, okay, like, we should. And so I would text her like, we are free on Tuesdays, or hey, we're at this park, do you want to join? Or we're on your side of town, whatever. And Grace, like, if you pulled up our text messages, it's just all blue. Like, it's just all, it's just,
it's new people.
It's all me.
And you're like, I swear we're meeting in person. You're talking. You was initiated.
Yeah. So like, major cringe. I hate it, because I feel at that point, I start almost feeling like vulnerability hangover.
Yeah.
Where I have overextended myself for you.
Yeah.
Where I'm now compromising other relationships that don't like that offer it back. Mm-hmm. And that's where I start just taking inventory and being like, if I'm putting in more effort and you say the desire's there, but you're not following through, like, I get it that things come up. I get it. People get sick. I get it. I have currently 54 unread messages, and like, my people deserve a reply from me. So like, I'm not doing this perfectly, but I will say that if you have expressed intention and then you don't follow through and the other person has like tried really hard, I mean, I feel like, you know, when you need to stop.
Yeah. And I think Well, I want to speak because I've been that person too. It's all blue. Like, you're not pathetic. Like, no. That's something I have to remind myself. Is like, I'm not pathetic that I tried, that I listened to her. She said she wanted to hang out and I made effort. Yeah. Like, I was kind. If anything, I was eager. I was ready. I was hands open. Like, that's what the Lord caused me to be positioned as. Because I think naturally when you look at that text, you're like, pathetic. Like,
loser.
I know. Like, she obviously hates you. But you're not pathetic. You're the kind one. And that's something to celebrate. Yes. That's Christ in you. It's not pathetic in you. And so that's something I have to remind myself. But also, yeah, when that happens, there comes to a point when, like, you have to stop entertaining it. Where there was one girl, I think, and my friend Ramsey, we saw her at a game. And she was like, she was someone who ignored us a lot, but would, she was someone very much like that too, who'd be like, we should hang out, had come over and only talked about herself. And then we never hung out again. And I know she told so many people we were friends. And that really annoyed me.
Worst.
And I'm like,
friendship, like coattail riders.
I know. I'm we're literally not friends. But like, I'll be nice and whatever. And I think Ramsey was better at it than me. And she goes, I saw her and I literally was like, hey, good to see you. Turn around. And I'm like, you know what? Like, take some little, like, kind, like, that's almost being kind to her to be like, hey, you're not treating me like a friend, so I'm not going to give you friend privileges. Like, right. I'm not going to, like, sit here and ask you 40 questions when you really aren't my friends. Like it doesn't mean I'm going to be treat you like an enemy, but, like, you don't get friend privileges if you don't show up.
Right.
At least a decent amount. And so I think that's something I've had to learn because in my head, it's that, like, borderline between, like, yes, love radically, but also trust wisely and keep some things private, including, like, the idea of, like, if they're not going to be invited to their wedding, you don't want them shocked one day, you know? But they should be able to look at their own life and be like, yeah. And another thing I will say about that is, too, I think our culture is so obsessed with, like, best friends because we have so many, like, you know, How I Met Your Mother, the friend group, friends,
yes.
New Girl. I'm like, I just want a posse. Like, a lot of my friendships, I don't know if the same thing for you. It's not necessarily a clique. It's like, I have all these pockets of people. And I think we seek so much to find our future bridesmaids or, like, our five besties or a friend group that we forget, like, life is also about finding a dance floor. Like, life is also about finding a lot of people who are ready to hype you up, celebrate the good and the bad, and be there. And so that's something I had to learn.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm going to IF Gathering. So excited.
I'm so jealous.
At the end of February. And I'm bringing 7 girls. Actually, I think it's now 8. And, like, every single one of them is from a different corner of my life. But we're all going together because we all love
Jesus. It's like your bachelorette party.
Truly. Watch out, Jenny. Here we go.
If gathering bachelorette party.
I'm like, we're all sharing hotel rooms.
Yeah.
We're going to do the late night pizza parties.
Grown up girl weekends are
the
crucial.
Best. And, like, I'm just so proud of, like, all my friends and honestly me that, like, I extended invitations to unlikely people. And
amen.
I'm proud of them. They all said yes. And they have followed through and they've, like, Venmoed me for the hotel room. Like, we're doing it. And
that's just how all you got to do is create the community.
All you have to do is create the opportunity because I'm telling you right now, everyone is looking for connection. Everyone is looking for connection.
In a post-COVID world, I think we realized how important it was, you know?
Yeah.
And so we want it. And you'd be surprised. And if some people say no, then they're not the people in that moment that God wants there. So trust that there are other people.
That's so good. Okay, we've talked enough about, I'm like, I don't like to cuss on the show, but, like, I feel like we've, like, bitched about
friendships. Pet peeve, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
What are some of your favorite qualities in a friend? Like, think of one of the best friends you have.
Gosh.
And your favorite qualities. Like, create a rubric for almost for us.
Well, this one, maybe this is, I'm trying to think about how to say this in a more Christian way. I have a friend, Nora, and my favorite thing is if someone hurts me, they hurt her. Like, you know, it's like, and not in scripture, but they weep with someone who's weep. Like, she stands for me when I, whatever. If there was someone
she
in college.
She protects your name.
Exactly. She protects my, I know she's bragging about me behind my back. I know she's got my, and there's so many friends like that too. Like, even Ramsey, I'm like, they will turn around and they will have my back in a room where I know some people don't. You know, I don't have to That's worry. Because there are friendships where I'm like, are you a yes woman? Are you just saying what everyone wants to hear? You know? And the issues they have with me, they're going to say it to my face. And that's something that is so important, that they will call me up, but they won't call me out and they'll brag about me behind my back. And that's something that's crucial to know that when they're in rooms that I'm not in, they have me, you know, in my name, in my reputation, and they know what to say. And they also will keep the private things private. And I think that can be rare in our world. But my friend Nora, like, I think if there was a guy who ever did me wrong, she goes, he is done. Like, I, like, and they would be like guy friends from college.
Dead
goes,
me.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know how anyone can be friends with him after this, you know? And I was like, same. I feel the same way. And so that's maybe, like, obviously exaggerated. Like, they don't need to make their enemies your enemy. But I think Taylor Swift says, a friend to all is a friend to none. Like, you know, if mm-hmm. they're friends to everyone, including the people who hurt you, like, you may need to, like, not trust them. And that's sure. not biblical. That's Taylor Swift. But that's something I think is so true of friendships. What yeah. about you?
That's good. I love a friend who can, like, read between the lines. I don't know how else to say it. But there have been moments where I am just, like, literally unwell. I think even a few months after I had Oliver, I was diagnosed with postpartum anxiety. And it was, like, so bad. I literally almost, like, I knew I was drowning, but I didn't even have the breath to call out for a life raft. Like, I just was underwater. And I have some friends that just didn't even ask. They're like, "Wow, I'm bringing Zaxby's. Like, wow, what's your order?" Or, "Hey, how about you just drop off Maddox and Oliver? We'll do bedtime bath time and we'll have them in their PJs. Come pick them up at 8, you know? And like that, those were the friends that I guess they just like, they saw the need without me needing to say the need. Because their gift was time, or their gift was having a little bit more margin in their life than I currently had. And, now I do like to say, if you have a need, you should say it, but I don't think that that's always possible, especially if you're walking through some mental health things. And so having friends see you,
anyone who just has a baby, that is my favorite thing. It's literally bring them sushi, bring them food, whatever it may be. Bring it to their house. Like, that is such a vulnerable moment as a girl. And it's not something I can understand, but like anytime a friend has that and they're not going to want to ask, like they're, no one wants to create a meal list for themselves. Like, you know, like, who wants to bring me food?
Yeah.
That's when you show up. Like that's what community does. Mm-hmm. You know, you show up unasked in those moments because they're damned if they do, they're damned if they don't, they're damned if they ask, like, you know, but then they're sad if they don't have that up. So you need to just show up in those moments. Your friend goes through a breakup. She's long distance. I once went through a talking phase ending and my friend Uber Eats cake to me, like, you know, and I'm like,
yes,
like, thanks. I thought I was insane. You know? Yeah. And so there were so many moments like that where, and then I'm like, I have a friend who I thought her and her boyfriend broke up, sent her crumble cookies. They got back together. Everyone who I've sent crumble cookies got back together. Anyways, but life is so short. You just got to like show up in those moments. Like that $30 is so better spent showing up for them than it would be in anything in your bank account.
That's so good. Practicals that I'm hearing here, I just want to call it real quick. If you have a friend that's about to have a baby, ask her if she has a meal train. Meal train is like a really cool online free thing that people can sign up, like you're saying, to bring meals. It's great. Just ask her, like, do you have a meal train? If not, go online, make one for her. And then if you have someone that like posts online, someone I think one time was like, she was pregnant or whatever. She's like, I'm craving cinnamon rolls. And like, you know, it was so fun going and getting her a cinnamon roll.
That's so epic.
Like, just seeing a need and meeting it is so fun, especially if you're like, oh, I don't have any friends. That's a good way to get
I had a girl in my Bible study in Orlando, and she was just like a friend. Like, she, if anything, she led it. And she was out of state from Orlando, and she's like, I just wish, like, I have a bridal shower in Georgia. I wish, you know, there was one in Orlando, like, so y'all could come. Like, that would have been fun, but da da da. And I'm like, well, I'll throw one. Like, let's do it. It's
just
so easy.
Do it.
So easy. And just like that, you throw one. It's, and she was like, I can't believe it. We just became friends. And now we still keep up. And I went to her wedding, and I'm like, those things are so special. Like, you meet the need, they say it. You need to create your mind to be ready to jump on opportunities, you know? And if you're not, then you're being a selfish. Like, if you're not looking at them and say, that's my opportunity, like, that is God literally telling me to do this, then you might have a selfish mindset.
Oh, great. I knew you would be the girl for this. I knew it. I'm like, she'll call you out. No.
Pet peeves.
I'll tell you if you suck.
I've been the pet peeve. I have also been the person who's like, we're friends. Like, I really need this. I'm like, wow, I hope you get it. You know? Like, where is it going to come? Why don't you order yourself? You get yourself a cinnamon roll. You go make it. Yeah. Like, you know?
Like, oh, you want Sour Patch Kids?
I had to work on that. Yeah.
That's so funny. Oh, I love it. But no, for real, I think you're the friend that can like call us out, tell us if we're being a brat. Love us well. It is a privilege to have you in person. Aww, so fun.
It is so fun.
One more fun question, so off topic, but what is something you're loving these days you have to share with our friends listening?
Oh, gosh. What is something I'm loving these days? I mean, there's like the little things. I upgraded my car.
You did.
I know.
So cute.
I was a Honda Civic girl for a while. It had a dent in the bag. And I think I even put it on my post, like, I'm just a girl with a Honda Civic. And I've been drooling over Volvos for a while. And I wheeled and dealed for a 2023 Volvo at the beginning of the year because it was like they had a low interest rate agreement.
That's amazing.
So car payment's not too bad. It is something. But I'm like, now I get the big deal about when people like a nicer car. Before I was like, I get the hype for life, and I still love the Honda. I almost got a CRV, but I was like, you know what? I don't do a lot of things like luxury wise. So I'm like, this will be the one thing. I travel so much, and so Maybe that's a big thing to love.
You travel a lot. You deserve a good car.
I had a great, ride in my Volvo. But I mean, other than that, I'm also loving, I get to throw apartment events at my apartment.
Yes.
And it's so funny because I get to meet people so organically. And it's like this little side thing that turns into just so much fun. Like, we had trivia night last night.
Yeah, you did. You would talk.
It was great. Some of the trivia questions were hard. But it's just really fun to throw things and meet people. And I'm like, yeah, party planning is also something I really love it. What about you? What are you loving?
Oh, they're so sweet to ask. I'm like looking around my office. I'm like, yeah, what do I love?
Yeah,
I am loving, Olipops.
I've had some, and I need to get on it more because
I'll send you home
soda
girl. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So same. So when I was pregnant, obviously I just try to cut caffeine, and I'm just like not a diet Coke, like Coke Zero. I don't like diet soda. Like, yeah, if I'm going to have it, I'm just going to have Dr. Pepper, like 100%. Whatever. But I understand that like a Dr. Pepper a day is probably not, like, my body's not happy about it. So probiotic sodas. So there's like Poppy, Olipop, whatever. I just like Olipop. Their watermelon lime flavor is like you're drinking a Sour Patch Kid.
Oh, okay. I need to try.
That's what I have in my fridge. I'll give it to you.
It may be the way I get off of Coke, because I'm straight a Coca-Cola, by the way, addict.
It's a thing. Yeah. It's a thing. I'm there with you. I like can only have Coke and pizza, no other drink. But Olipops are so good. They have a subscription I probably should do, but they have them at Target or Publix.
A subscription. They're so genius for that.
Genius. Mm-hmm. Well, they aren't a little bit expensive. They're like $2 a soda.
Yeah. So you like
whatever.
That's okay. Life short.
Drink the soda, baby.
Buy your friend the cinnamon roll and get yourself the Olipop. So.
I love it. Oh, Grace, you are a blast now. Thanks for coming and spending some time with me today.
So fun. Thank you, Rachel, for having me.